No, no, I think Breakthrough TV gives bad broadcasting a good name.
You're listening to Con Air Radio.
Stop whining.
It's about to begin.
Hey guys and gals, this is Smash Tower at Game On Expo for Con Air Radio, and we are with our co-host, who's also guesting today. Go ahead, let me know what's going on. I just got baffled.
No worries. For those who are listening for the first time, possibly, I am Q Cosplay. I'm usually a co-host with Robert here, but this weekend I was invited to be my own guest for a change.
And how's that been going?
It's intense. I've never been on this side of the table for my own stuff before. I've always been helping out, like, Corgi Cosplay, helping right. you out, helping others out. So when people come here and tell me, oh, yeah, we saw you on the poster, we wanted to meet you, I'm just like, wait, what? Hey?
This face?
If question marks can make noises, that's the noise that I made.
Yeah, you got to love that. You get the World of Warcraft icons to pop
yeah, get
up,
the or get the Metal Gear Solid, the sudden sharp noise when you're spotted.
Oh, no! So what do you think of the con so far? Because this is it's not a new venue, it's a different floor.
It is. It's actually 70,000 square feet bigger than it was last year. I was told that by the owner who came by the other day. And I've been to Game On, this is my third one, and last year it was great. Like, it was a nice, cute little cozy setup. It has blown my mind how big this con has grown and just how many guests they have here. Like, they have an entire quarter of the vendor hall just for the guests with how many they have.
It's absolutely amazing how many people are in there, and I just couldn't believe it. Yesterday, that place was packed.
Oh, yeah, no. I had to go in there a few times to grab stuff for panels I was running. I'm just like, on second thought, I'm going to send my handler because I'm not going through this.
And yeah, because it's ridiculous. I'm sitting there going, all right, I need to figure out how to lay a plan, walk in path.
Got
to
make a plan of attack.
Yes, and it was ridiculous on how bad I had to plan.
Yesterday was just, it was so insane, and I was getting in line to talk to, who was it? It was actually David Hayter, the guy who voices Solid Snake in Metal Gear Solid. Uh-huh. Absolute sweetheart, by the way. If you have a chance to talk to him, highly recommend it, but I got in line, and even as a guest / VIP, it still took me almost 45 minutes to get to the front of his line. He was so busy.
Well, that's a good demand.
It is, and like I'm glad that he has so many fans, but at the same time, it's like I only have X amount of time between panels and being at my table. Please let me go to the front of the line. I don't want to be that person, but I only have like 20 minutes.
That's when you almost hope for a green room where they kind of hang out, and if everybody was yeah. allowed in there.
So, it's actually kind of funny. Here, we don't have a green room for the cosplayers. We have the purple room.
The purple room?
We have a room just for the cosplayers, and we have a room for the guests.
Darn it.
I know. I was hoping that I could slip into the green room and run into Neil in there, but, like, the 2 minutes I got to talk to him on Friday was absolutely worth it.
When we first started many years ago, it was amazing. Actually, that was before I even started Con Air. There were times that I was at the hotel and I'd be going up and down the elevators, and I'm in the hotel and I'm sitting there and I'm talking to Gigi from Farscape.
Oh yeah,
because she was
absolute
going on
sweetheart. I love talking to her. I've seen her a few cons.
Yeah, and actually, she was at a con last weekend with a friend of mine, Tracy Coco, and they hung around all weekend. Tracy was posting shots of them out in doing, you know, sightseeing and such like that, and it was fantastic. Her and like two other guys were there. I think one of the guys was, I believe, the body of Darth Vader.
Oh, I can't remember his name, but I know who you're talking about.
Big, huge
David
guy.
David Prowse, I think, or something like that.
That sounds relatively familiar.
To those listening, if I got it wrong, I do apologize. I'm terrible with names. Please don't come find me and set me on fire.
That would be Tracy. She would probably hunt you down. She'd better odds that she would be listening than anything else.
Like, I'm a huge Star Wars fanatic, but I'm terrible with names, so.
I usually go, you know, that person, you know, and I can't remember half the people I meet, and I can't remember half the people that are technically friends. I mean, it's like, I remember you from somewhere.
I remember faces. I don't remember names. Like, I didn't realize that on the first day when we were setting up, when we were here for load-in Thursday night, I was talking to this lovely older gentleman for, like, a good half an hour outside in the smoking area. And then all of a sudden, I can't remember his name, but he's the composer for Mortal Kombat, the one who did all the soundtrack. I hear his name called out, and I look at this pass, look at him, and realize, oh, I've just been shooting the shit with the guy who literally made the soundtrack to my childhood. I am such a moron.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I mean, I was walking around doing a... I think it was an Instagram video, and I was just wandering around, and then all of a sudden I'm walking beside one of the vendors that I know, Moto Glass, and
Moto's a sweetheart, by the way.
Oh God, yeah, he's fantastic, and he was kind of just telling me how, you know, I said how well he'd been doing. He said, well, I've been doing fantastic, but he had to deal with the con too. And that has helped him out immensely, so...
Yeah, no, there's been some snafus with, like, some of the people who work for the security and stuff, people weren't given proper information. Like, that's not on the con, that's on the security company themselves.
Correct.
But a lot of, I hate to say it this way, but a lot of the instances that have happened, people are taking it on the wrong people, and it's like, no, if you have a complaint about security, take it up with the security company, we have no control over what they do.
Correct, and they were highly, highly unequipped for what they needed to deal with on Friday alone.
I found out they were given the pre-sale numbers and everything, and they still thought they didn't need a full crew.
No, that's...
My good friend Corgi Cosley went and lit into them, and suddenly we had a full crew.
Yeah, I kind of heard about that. I'm like, yeah, the boss.
I saw her put on the Mama Bear walk, and I got out of her way, and I went to go get coffee. No witnesses.
Yeah, she definitely is very protective when she's out there and about.
Yeah, when she's doing her job, when she's being the cosplay den mother, you just stay out the way.
That's the funny thing is, though, is it's, you know, most of it, it's not her job. It is, but she has taken it on like the boss. I mean, seriously, the owners of the convention can turn around and says, you know, I would love to come down there and argue with you, but I don't have time, so I'm sending Corgi Cosplay.
Mm-hmm.
And she'll run down there and just, you know, if you don't listen to me, I will sick my dogs on you. They will bite your ankles until you give in.
Yeah, no, I went to go deal with an issue myself with security, and then Corgi looked me dead in the eye, sat me down in my chair and went, you have a panel in half an hour, stay put, and walked away, and I was just like, yes, ma'am.
Yeah, but that is part of her job, is to coordinate you guys, and that's a good part.
Oh, yeah, no, like, I understand it, but it was one of those cases of, I'm not used to being on this side of the table, so I'm not used to having to be coordinated.
Correct.
Because I'm either working with you, or I'm working with Sugar Pink Cafe, which I might be taking a hiatus from with my health and everything, but... There's just been some ups and downs, unfortunately.
Yeah, but usually every up and down has its own silver lining.
Exactly, and the silver lining was I had time to actually sit down and get stuff done for this con, so.
Yep, and then that's great. I mean, I've had time to focus on some of my other projects, and I'm starting to look into a few things, too. So, matter of fact, I've got an auction coming up in a couple of days that I hope I win.
Fingers crossed. I'm hoping for you. I'm putting all the good vibes out there.
Yeah, because I was thinking about some of that. I mean, I might find some of those vintage T-shirts that I like so much.
Speaking of vintage T-shirts, I almost had a stroke the other day. So there was a guy walking around with one of the original GameCube GoldenEye shirts.
Uh-huh.
I remember buying that game when it came out. I was at the midnight release, and this kid who couldn't have been older than, like, 10 years old goes, hey, Dad, isn't that super old game you like about the weird spy guy? I felt like at least 10 years of my life just slip away as the gray hairs started coming in.
Uh-huh.
And all I could think was, you are the reason that I have heart problems, child.
Well, that's why it's a little weird for me, because my photographer, he's basically just past driving age, but he is a huge anime, and he's running around and taking all the photos. I mean, seriously, we downloaded 76 shots already. So the only downside is now it's a toss between doing what I brought him here for and the gaming that he wants to do.
Yeah, like, I was actually asked if I could compete in the tournament they had for charity.
Uh-huh.
But the problem was, is it was happening at the same time as my panels. Otherwise, I would have been over there doing my best, which is not very good at trying to beat people at Smash. I'm not great at it. I button mash and I pray, but it's fun anyway.
Well,
and it's all for charity, too.
Yeah, well, evidently, his friends played last night for cash, and they actually, I guess, most of them went home with cash.
Oh, wow.
So, but, and it's no downside for Game On, but they turned around and they said, the people we were playing were not very good.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, and I'm sitting there going, oh, well, that's a good thing. And my photographer, he's evidently very good. So he's eagerly wanting to get involved in the 230 tournament.
Yeah.
So I told him, I said, get your pitchers in, you know, and he gave me 76 this morning, so that's good. I'm hoping that he gets himself registered to play today, and then in between that, he can get more pitchers.
Oh, yeah, no, that's, I love doing the tournaments, but I don't have the energy for them anymore. I'm either too busy working, or I have already been working all day, and I just don't have the energy to focus long enough.
Right.
Which breaks my heart, because those tournaments I used to be so good at. And then I took a break for a couple of years, and it is not, in fact, like riding a bike. You can't just jump in and get right back to it. You actually have to practice. Go figure.
I went back to World of Warcraft after not playing for about 2 years, and I'm going, I don't even know how to write. I don't even know how to shoot my bow anymore.
I play a Warlock in WoW, and it's taken me so long to relearn how to play it because I want to get the new X-Pack because the new X-Pack looks really good.
I keep seeing it, but I'm staying away. I don't have time anymore to lay out for that, and most of my guild and my friends that I used to play with actually are raiders, so they're always like, I want to go on a raid, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. I says, dude, I very much doubt I'll be available during that time. Two, your crown's going. Heart attack.
Almost had a heart attack there, guys, don't worry.
It's a little tilted now, too.
I'll fix that in a minute.
It's not going to make it.
Yeah, don't mind me. I'm just holding a prop here while we talk.
Yeah, technical issues, and it's not even our technical.
I think we're good. Okay, yep, we're good.
Sweet. It's reset.
I don't have $1,000 to replace that if it breaks.
No, and I don't think that'll be under the insurance.
It's not insured. the Arizona Gay Rodeo, unfortunately cannot insure the crowns just because they are so prone to damage. And apparently I'm the first person in 15 years to not damage that thing the entire time I wore it, and I don't want to break that now.
It's got a bend just here? No.
I mean, I currently have like 4 T-pins holding it down and praying that they are good enough because it's so heavy.
Yeah, well, luckily enough, as at the angle that it had fallen to, I am surprised that it didn't fall off.
Yeah, no, I'm, knock on wood here, it's going to stay that way.
I'll staple it to the styrofoam head.
Honestly, I'm tempted that wig I'm not going to be wearing again for a very long time. I'm half tempted to just stitch it to the wig and call
there
it good.
Go. That might work. So, I don't know, this is the game on, this has definitely been a major improvement over what I've seen except for the security issues from the last 2 days.
Which we have no control over, sadly. I wish we did, but we don't.
I arrived extra early today and actually made it in like 10 minutes.
I got here at 7:30.
I picked up my photographer today, so it's like, and then we decided to take the light rail, which is a new experience for him.
I've lived here for 3 years and I still have never taken the light rail.
The funny part is that I don't have an issue with the light rail, but it was funny to see the look on his face with all the different types of people that were coming in.
Yeah.
And this woman that sat down behind me, who would not stop talking. She would just go, 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 go. And it was almost random stuff. It was hilarious because she physically asked me, do you mind if I have a beer? I'm like, I don't mind, but I think the light rail has an issue.
The driver might.
Well, she wasn't the one driving. She was passenger.
Then you have to deal with public intoxication, and it's intoxication. Wow.
Yeah.
I'm so tired.
Speaking of, who's had a few? No.
I wish. Surprisingly, I've only had one beer this weekend, and normally by now I've had at least a few shots with my buddies. You know, usually the cosplay guests get together and go for like a dinner or something. I know,
right.
Because usually I'm helping wrangle them into the freaking restaurant. Now I'm the one being wrangled. It's still taking some getting used to.
Yeah, I did see a photo of the cosplay group together earlier. So.
Yeah, they had a get together, but I almost passed out from exhaustion, so I had to forego the cosplay get together, and I just ended up going straight home and going straight to bed.
Yeah, I was pretty close to that. Oddly enough, I decided to leave here early yesterday. I went out and sat down outside to send off some Instagrams, and I get this text message from my boss, and he says, hey, do you want to come in and work for a couple couple hours. I'm like, dude, I'm exhausted. I was leaving because I was exhausted.
Yeah.
But I ended up stopping in, and I turned around and I said, well, it's going to be a little while because I took the light rail, so I still have to get on the light rail, go back to where my car was parked, and then drive to there. But I stopped in and worked for about 2 hours. And
I mean, hey, money's money.
He was happy as clam, so he was like, yes!
Yeah.
Oh, and I'm serious. I had a couple of the wait staff just coming up and going, we have to be very thankful that you came in. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I was just stopping by.
Right?
But it was funny, the 2 days off that I asked off, I worked on both of them. But anyway.
It'd be like that sometimes.
Yeah. But I'm getting very anxious for Fan Fusion, so we'll see how that turns out.
Fan Fusion, depending on how things go, I might be helping you out depending on how things go with that. Because I haven't gotten an invitation yet, but apparently multiple people here are saying that they have either already or are going to request me as a cosplay guest. We're going to see where that goes.
Right.
It'd be cool to guest at Fan Fusion, but I'm not as big as some of those cosplayers yet. I'm not as well known as some of the cosplayers yet. I'm still kind of new to the guesting scene.
Right.
So it's going to be a matter of we see how that goes.
Well, I've been debating about trying to guilt them a little bit because I was going, hey, you know, I've been covering your con for 9 years now. Never really asked for anything. You know, it maybe
I think last year you and I did like what, 30 miles that entire weekend?
Oh god, yes.
So fun fact, those wooden shoes I was wearing last year, I took them home and apparently they had actually split down the middle from how much walking we did.
Oh god, that's not good. Hey, Pooch. Okay.
We have doggos over here.
Doggos.
The one and only Corgi Cosplay is in the house.
Corgi Cosplay with food.
That was a drive-by. Bye-bye.
She's like, I'm in, I'm out.
Love you, bitch.
But yeah, the con is definitely looking good. I will probably put in a request and find out what kind of numbers they had. I don't know if he'll give them up, but... just to kind of find out if they're happy with they know what, you know, happy and you know it, clap your hands.
I would, but unfortunately the corsets keep me from moving.
Yeah. But it is fantastic. As I said, it seemed to be very well timed, slightly unorganized on the security side, but outside of that, everything seems to be flowing rather well.
Oh yeah, no, I've had so many people come to my table this weekend who have said this is their first con and it's been the best experience ever aside from security, which I wish we could help with that in some way, shape, or form, but all we do is we hopefully get paid to look pretty. We can't really do anything about it.
Right.
But right. There's so many people who, like, you know, there's like 12, 13-year-olds who are saying this is their first ever con or anything like that, and they're excited because they get to meet, like, Sonic the Hedgehog, they get to meet Knuckles, they get to meet Dr. Eggman. There's been a couple of kids who are just like, oh my god, let's go meet D.Va, she's so awesome, and all this other really cool stuff. So, like, seeing the kids get excited makes me so happy.
Yeah. And there's definitely a lot going on. And it's amazing to see how... I always get a kick out of how young some of these cosplayers are.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm not really seeing kids. I'm actually seeing small dinosaurs, small Pokemon. You know, I'm like, wow, they're getting into it. These kids are actually really getting into the costume.
Yeah, so. I will say there are some cosplays I see these kids doing that they really shouldn't be doing. So there's a cartoon that just came out recently called Hazbin Hotel.
Okay.
I'm a huge fan of it. I've been following it for years. And there's a particular character in there that a lot of minors tend to gravitate towards, but the problem is that he is a porn star. And these 10 and 12-year-olds are dressing up as a porn star character, and their parents aren't doing anything to, like, stop it. They don't realize that what their kid is doing is highly inappropriate because they're doing all the poses and stuff from the show when they have no business doing this.
Yeah.
And I actually called one out because they were like, hey, can I... Because I was dressed as Astarion yesterday, and as you know, Astarion is huge right now because of Baldur's Gate.
Right.
Came up to me and went, can I do like a super sexy pose with you? And I asked how old they were. Oh, I'm 14. Absolutely not. Well, I'm going to pay you for it. No, you're not. You're not going to take anything out of an appropriate photo with me. I can get you fired from the con. Bet.
You gotta love it when they say that.
And then
that.
About an hour later, that mom came back and accused me of actually being a creeper because I am a drag queen by trade. And unfortunately, as we know in the community, like in the world right now, drag queens aren't being taken very nicely by certain persons of certain political flavors, if you will. And they threatened to have me arrested for being a drag queen at a con because obviously I was just there to be weird with the kids. And it's like, no, this is how I make my living. I literally am a drag queen as a career. This is how I make my living. Don't take this from me.
You got to prove I'm weird, damn it. Oh, wait.
I know I'm weird, but not that kind of weird. Like, I'm weird in the state of I have an entire room dedicated to my hoard of craft supplies.
Yeah.
That's my kind of weird.
I have an entire living room that I can't find my dining room table anymore.
You have a dining room table?
Yeah, it's actually a 100, and I think it's a, like almost 150 years old, double drop leaf table, and I use it for a cutting table.
Oh, my heart. Yeah. That one hurt a little bit.
I do have a pad on it, though.
Okay. I was going to say, if it's a real wood table and you're cutting on it, then I need to respectfully remove myself from the situation here.
Yeah, it's definitely a family heirloom, and I have no plans on damaging it, but it's just the fact that I can't find it half the time. I mean, actually, I have one of the sides up, holding up the side so it gave me more room for the cutting, and then I actually have sets of shelves on that on the leaf, and I'm like, okay, I'm just worried that I'm going to put too much weight on that.
Yeah, no, I'm the same way. Like, I had a shelf display set up and everything for my table here, but I was using it to store a lot of my supplies on, and I didn't realize how heavy some of my supplies got until I took them off and I realized all the shelves were cracked. Ooh. So I was just like, well, we're going to just stick it on the table and call it good.
Well, that and the fact that most of my dining room is now based around a 250-pound Juki sewing machine.
Yeah, no, I get that. My problem is my roommates and I, we're all cosplayers and we're all crafters.
Uh-huh.
And it's a matter of who's taking up the space today. And I feel terrible because I have bogarted the space for the last 2 weeks. But it's because I had to get merch made. And my roommates have all had work and stuff. And having been recently unemployed, I've had a lot more free time on my hands.
Yeah, they're gonna force you to step out of the limelight there soon.
Oh, no. My roommates flat out said that after this weekend, I don't get the craft space for at least a good 2 weeks to make up for it. And I'm like, you know what? That's fair. I don't want to do any crafting until closer to Fan Fusion.
Yeah, that's understandable. Because... I mean, even my wife has found a new craft that she was making for one of our sales places. She's happy with that. I'm like, okay, keep going then. Just keep going.
Yep.
Right. So, have you had any other invite? I mean, you were talking about that you've had some people suggest the Fan Fusion that you get out there. So
I've had I haven't gotten any more invites yet. Granted, you know. We're still at the beginning of con season. There's only been a couple of cons so far at the beginning of the season, which I totally understand. But I've had several people tell me that they're requesting me for Fan Fusion.
Mm-hmm.
I'm already being told that they want to ask me to do the Comic-Con down in Tucson.
TexCon? There's two down there. There's one that's book related, and then there's an actual media con.
I think it's the media con one. I'm still learning the cons out here. There's so many.
TusCon, I think, is that one.
TusCon. I think that's the one that they said they wanted to request me for, and then multiple people have said they want to see me at Sabotin and Konnichiwa in Tucson as well. So.
Right.
It's going to be a matter of, you know, people have to put the requests out there, and then they have to reach out to me with the contracts, and,
right.
You know, it's a whole ordeal, but the fact that people want to see me at these cons means a lot, because the fact that I can share my experience with all the cosplays I've done over the years and to help teach the next generation means a lot to me.
Right. Well, we've got a gun an in with when it comes to Sabo, so there's a good possibility there.
It's Jack and from
Sally. Yep.
Business is business.
Polar beads. Yep. So these ones are 15. Everything's half off today, so these are 15.
So guys and gals,
the
downside
well.
Of having a podcast and doing the interview at a table is business always interrupts. Business comes first, so
yes,
that's the way we like it.
I don't have a card reader. My card reader broke, so that's perfect.
Cash is always good.
Sorry about that. I had a customer.
Nope, not a problem. That's what I was explaining on the phone.
Yeah.
The
but yeah, no. So I love coming to these cons. I love being able to do these teaching panels. There's actually people who have asked me to reach out to Game On next year. They're already saying they're going to invite me back.
Right.
They want me to put on an actual Game On drag show next year.
That'll be interesting.
And I have already had several performers who I perform with on a daily, like every weekend at the bars here in town, that have said that as soon as they get the notice, they will do the show.
Right.
So I have a cast list. I just have to have a show to do it at.
Well, as soon as they give you the thumbs up, that ought to be a fun to push.
Yeah, I'm working with, I believe his name is Andrew, who's in charge of programming and, like, the guest stuff here for the cosplayers. Andrew, Andy, something like that. I can't remember the name off the top of my head again. I'm terrible with names.
I know I got my emails from Anthony?
Anthony, that's what it is.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, no. He actually messaged me on the side, and apparently he's a fan of my drag. Like, he's actually a fan of Miranda Writes Ticey, which is my drag name. And he wanted me to do a drag show here, but there was just so much programming and so many guests, there was no way we could do it.
Well, they need to figure out how they can re-scenario those.
Oh, yeah,
those
and it's
spaces,
it's genuinely, in this situation especially, it's a logistics issue because they added an extra 70,000 square feet on top of the, I think it was like 30,000 square feet last year, something like that.
Correct.
So we're basically at 100,000 square feet here.
Yeah, it's absolutely huge now, but he's done an awesome job of filling it. I've actually noticed that there are a few spaces that were unused, but they actually were originally taken, so there are people that evidently had to back out.
They've done a great job of taking those spaces and turning them into, like, you know, an area to chill out, an area to take a break, stuff like that, put some chairs up, stuff like that. Like,
yeah.
They've done a really great job of accommodating everybody, and they've been so helpful with a lot of the people who have, like, the ADA stuff, with, like, you know, the wheelchairs, walkers, stuff like that.
Correct.
Everybody has been so accommodating. It's been a wonderful, wonderful change from what I'm used to back in New Mexico.
Yeah.
I will say, I do prefer Phoenix cons over New Mexico cons. Nothing against my home state, but it feels a little more well-organized here.
Well, it's also a much bigger venue because of, New Mexico or Albuquerque has a population of what?
So they do most theirs at the Albuquerque Convention Center.
Correct.
Which is about a fifth of the size of the Phoenix Convention Center.
Correct.
And they bring in all these huge A-listers, but the problem is that they usually have to shut down letting people in because they never accommodate for how many people are coming.
Correct.
And
pre-sale.
The owner and I
numbers.
Don't really have a good history.
Yeah.
I don't go to his cons anymore at all because we've had some issues in the past, but that's neither here nor there. But he's actually come out and said, well, if you didn't get in time, sucks to suck. He refuses to go to another venue or to rent out the other part of the convention center.
Right.
Because it's split up in two. There's a little walkway that connects the two of them. But even with both buildings, it's still in like a fifth of the space we have here.
Yeah, that's why I was kind of depressed about UwuCon. You know, I was hoping that we would begin going to UwuCon again next year. But I very much doubt it because of the fact that they moved it to Scottsdale.
It's in Scottsdale now?
Yeah, it's going to be in Scottsdale now. So
I don't do UwuCon anyway just because of some stuff that's gone on with some people that I know, and it's just more of a case of, like, playing it safe for all parties involved so that there's no conflict or anything like that.
Right.
If I go one of these years, it's going to be because they, like, you know, get somebody that I haven't met ever before, and it's probably, like, the only time I get a chance to kind of deal.
Well, they've done good numbers, and they've had a good guest list, but, you know, it's a growing con. They have to fluctuate. And they have to make adjustments. So the downside is that their location, Legacy Park, was bought, sold. So now it's owned by another company altogether. So I'm presuming the reason why that they're not doing it again out there is because the new company has said, no, what the hell do I want to do with a con?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a sports complex, you know?
Yeah, no, that's the hard part is finding a venue that will work with you and understand your audience.
Correct.
Because you can find a venue that is willing to work with you, but they only expect, like, you know, maybe 1,000 people, and you tell them we have 20,000 pre-sales, they're not going to know what to do with that.
Yeah, and it's like, do we have to put everything together? I mean, we don't know anything about the new owner, so I don't know if he put his diligence into checking the numbers and such, but all I know is Scottsdale, for me, is a madhouse drive-through, and unless I was staying at a hotel, I don't think I would be going to it. But at the same time, they have not reached out to us yet either.
Yeah.
So.
Like, if they reach out to me, then I'll probably say yes because, A, this is how I make my living.
Correct.
And, B, I would love to go. It's just certain people that used to go to that con, I tried not to associate with because we have bad blood.
Yeah.
And that's just more of a case of I want to keep the peace. I don't want there to be drama. I want the con to be fun for everybody.
Right.
Even if I don't like you, I still want you to enjoy what you're doing. And like, if UwuCon reaches out to me and says, hey, we'd love to have you as a guest, then absolutely I will be there in a heartbeat.
Well, they got to remember, we got to let them know because you were part of the crew last time. So we need to make sure that they know that you're also a cosplayer.
Mm-hmm.
So the variation is they may turn around and send out the invite to Con Air not thinking about it's you yourself.
Yeah.
So we'll have to make sure that they're...
I do plan on putting out a lot more public posts about it now that... Because part of the reason I wasn't advertising really is I wasn't sure my health was going to be because I was hospitalized off and on for the past 5 months.
Correct.
So a lot of this was playing it by ear, but now that I know that I'm at a point where my doctor has cleared me to start doing this again, I can start advertising.
Hello.
I haven't been doing a lot of advertising because I didn't know where I was going to be, but now that I know that I can start doing this again, I fully intend to start putting myself out there and advertising that I can start doing again.
Right. Well, what you should do is talk to Amber Skies because she evidently has...
Oh, her and Dad Skies are amazing.
She's got it down. She went from not having to work anymore right into doing this, and this is her full-time gig now.
I'm actually going to be hitting her up after con because I know she's got her booth this weekend, and Dad Skies has his stuff going on, but I'm going to be hitting her up. And how do you whore yourself out without actually whoring yourself out? I know there's a method, but I don't know it. Please help me.
Yeah,
I am just a Padawan. You are the master.
She's fantastic, and Dad Skies is definitely having a good weekend, too. So.
Oh, Dad Skies is so amazing. He is such a sweetheart. I love that man to death.
I'd love his model work, too, because he's got such detailed models.
Oh, yeah, no. His work is so good, and my hands are so shaky. If I tried doing that, it would look like a kindergartner took a marker to it.
Yeah, and see, that was her old job. He could have turned around going, here, paint this. I'll take all my stuff into her class and they can paint it.
Yep.
It'll look bad. But anyway, but yeah. So that's great. Well, I'm going to end to say we're going to have to wrap this up because there's just a lot of people and I want to definitely get out there and walk around a little bit more.
Yeah, and about any time now, my food should be getting here too, so I need to take a break to eat. I haven't eaten all day.
Yeah, I stopped at a Circle K. I had a really bad sandwich.
Well, when you're corseted to the gods, you only eat if you absolutely have to. Yeah.
Well, it's a good thing, and as I said, we love cons, and this is the way we seem to subject ourselves to the tortures.
The best way I can explain it is we suffer for our craft.
Well, there's no doubt about that. So. But, all right, so we're going to go ahead and wrap it up, and we'll talk to you some more a little later, and hopefully we'll see you at some of the other cons, if not cosplaying or co-hosting. Hopefully we'll have a blast.
Absolutely.
All right, talk to you later. Hey guys and gals, this is Smash Tower for Con Air Radio, and we are still at Game On Expo, and it is day 3, and we are wrapping it up. This is my last interview for the evening, but it is a good one. We are going to be having our conversation with the Dread Fleet, and you are?
I'm Commodore Max, one of the founders of the Dread Fleet Incorporated.
And you guys have been friends for quite a while, and I cannot believe that it's taken me this long to get you guys on a mic.
We've been doing this since 2010, so I don't even remember when we met you.
I think it was a couple of years after that.
Yeah.
It was a little bit after that, but I remember you guys upstairs and on the third floor at Fan Fusion.
Wow.
Comic-Con back then, right. But I think it was actually before that when I actually met you guys. I think it was somewhere else. And I'm trying to remember.
I can't remember. I think it was before that time.
It was a long, long time ago.
It's very gray. It's very dusty for me to think back.
Yeah, it's gray here now because that goatee is coming in quite full.
My beach are there.
Just by a little. Just by a little. So let's go ahead and tell people what is the Dread Fleet.
Mm-hmm. The Dread Fleet... We started in 2007, 8, something like that. We're a group of friends that we branched off of an organization called the Corsairs.
Right.
They had a process by which you became a captain in that group. Well, I became a captain years ago, and I brought another captain in who I happened to be married to.
I saw how that worked out.
Yeah. So we left the Corsairs, took the same process, and ended up with three more captains. And each of us had our own crews, and we started a fleet. Captain Blackstrap told me when we were still in the Corsairs that she would sail under my flag and call me Commodore if I would sponsor her.
Okay.
I said, okay. And the Corsairs hated that. But I became a Commodore after that.
Well, it's not too bad. You got that many captains under you now.
Right. Well, that was at the time. since then, things have happened, people have moved on, things have changed.
Of course.
But recently, within the past 6 months, two of the original three founders that have left have come back.
Oh, cool.
So we're waiting for the third one, see if she comes back too. Put the band back together, so to speak.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
Now, I do remember that each captain was in charge of specific, I want to use the word events, but skill set. Let's call it the skill set. And Bootstraps, she was the...
Blackstrap.
I know. Curse of the black pearl popped in my head. She was in charge of the belly dancing and...
Performing.
Performing.
All performing.
Right.
Which included dancing, stage combat, belly dance, drumming, all that.
And you were in charge of the sword fighting.
Correct. In charge of the fighters.
So that's pretty sweet.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I've always, and I, even back in those days, I've sat there going, you know, I really need to take the time to come over and learn the sword fighting, because I've wanted to, but it's always one of those things where you just got tied up with so many different things. You just, I haven't found the time. Damn it.
There's nothing like fencing. Medieval style fencing.
Right.
As opposed to collegiate fencing or...
traditional fencing.
Traditional fencing. Well, no. See, the fencing I do is a traditional type.
Well, that's
Collegiate fencing is done now for like the Olympics and things like that. Use foils that are very super light, super thin, and they just move, made to move quickly and just to be able to touch you. As long as they touch you, you get a point.
Right.
The way we do it is I've got to get into your space, keep your blade away from my head while it's going for your head.
Right.
And to make direct contact. So we've got kill zones. We don't have just points.
Right. That would be an interesting thing to learn.
It's great.
Because I can see myself, there's another organization that I know that you guys know about. I can't remember the terminology for it, but they do wood doweling. They go full-blown... balls of the wall kind of thing, and I've seen that for a long time, and I turned around going, I don't know how long I could last doing that. You come home with welts, bruises, maybe a sprain. But this is more of the styles that you would see in the life or death close combat of a ship.
Right.
And that's what I put my mind into it every time I think of it is that, you know, it's not the I'm going to run across this field and hack at somebody. It's once we get in there, my goal is to hit and win.
Right.
You know, and put them out. So now you guys have been around for so long, and I know that you've branched out into so many different little things. Like, for example, Blackstrap is doing the book writing and all the other little things. Have you branched out into anything else? I know that you have been doing the sword fighting, but have you touched on any other, interesting subjects along that lines of the pirate themes?
The only thing that I love fencing, and that's what I do.
Uh-huh.
I'm also very much into history, so I know a lot of pirate history.
Oh, sweet.
Some of it, it's all very interesting. Some of it's pretty funny. Some of it I found out I was wrong about.
Oh.
But because there's so much information out there about pirates. There's just so much.
Oh, yeah. I was enthralled about the pirates. I was raised in Nova Scotia, Canada.
Oh, wow.
So for the longest time, everyone thought the treasure at Oak Island was the local rumor was Captain Kidd, because he was evidently a very educated individual and such. But things I used to watch the TV show The Curse of Oak Island, and I'm sitting there going, my whole idea of what I thought before seems to be different. So I don't know what actually is the history of Oak Island. And for as long as they've been running that damn show, I keep thinking, why can't they find this damn treasure that's going on? Why, 15 years? How much island could be left?
They finally got to the bottom of it just recently.
I haven't seen any of the newer episodes, so I have not heard the news. And I was raised there, and I've got friends in the area, And they haven't said anything either. But of course, I think they're bland or gotten used to the attention that it's brought. So they're still kind of like, we don't know if this is true yet or not. You know, I think they're still playing with it. No, it's not true. You know, they couldn't have found anything yet.
Yeah, but supposedly the current owners of the property did get to the bottom of it. They found some stuff, but it wasn't a treasure. It wasn't like bars of gold or coins, doubloons, or anything like that.
Huh.
They said it's done.
Huh.
Yeah.
I just would.
At least that's what I heard. I might be wrong. You never know.
But the owners may be turning around going, okay, we got to put out some story to get people to think about something else for a while, and we'll just look for it ourselves.
Or they could have found a treasure load. And said, there's nothing here.
Yeah, we'll sit on this. This is a fact we're not going to let everyone know, so we're going to just sit on this for a while.
Yeah.
And, that's the kind of history that is cool. I mean, it's like Blackbeard's ship. That I think they find it off of North Carolina?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm sitting there going, now that would have been sweet.
Yeah. I don't remember when they found it.
It's been a little while now. Yeah. But at the same time, that still fascinates me that it's out there. And then, of course, as they say, the ocean is still, 85-86% unexplored? How much stuff could still be down there that we just don't know?
Yep.
Because we don't have that technology yet. We can put people on the moon, get ready to send people to Mars, but we still can't figure out what's on the bottom of the ocean.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that blows my mind. We can spend all that time and effort and just still miss something that's right there.
I know.
Excuse me. So, the Dread Fleet's been, how many members you guys got? I've been wanting to know, because you said a couple of your captains have come back.
Including them, we've got probably about, maybe around 20 members now. And most of them are performers with Captain Blackstrap, and maybe a third of them are fighters.
Right.
That I deal with. There are one or two that kind of intermingle, but
I'm a fighting performer.
Yeah. Whenever we did, I used to do stage shows for Blackstrap.
Right.
We do this wonderful choreographed sword fight, just beautiful. And we'd get to our park, we started fighting, and the person I'm usually fighting against is another fencer. So
right.
We just start a fight. We just started fighting nothing that she wanted. So they don't let me do it anymore.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go ahead and we can wrap this up. But I do want to appreciate you. Thank you for taking the time to talk to us, which is, as I said, it's been well overdue.
Yeah.
And we look forward to doing it again sometime in the near future.
Great.
And is there any way we can find you at specific locations or on your socials, if you have any?
The only thing we've got right now is the Dread Fleet on Facebook.
Uh-huh.
We've got a Facebook page. Everything we do, we post on that page.
Cool.
Anything coming up or pictures like from here,
right,
this event, we'll go on that page.
Sweet. So that way we'll have a place to look for it.
Excellent.
All right. Well, we'll call it a day, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Bye.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself,
bullshit!
What a wonderful world.
Where are you going?
I'm going to pick a fight.
Don't be too proud of this technological terror you've constructed.